Academy Sports and Outdoors wants everyone to stay safe while doing more of what they love. So whether you're planning a fishing trip, heading to the driving range, prepping for your upcoming hunt, or firing up the grill before the big game, we have all the gear you need to enjoy more sports and outdoors, all at the prices that you're going to love. And with the curbside pickup available, it's never been easier to shop all our brands in-store and online at Academy.com. Because whatever you love doing, Academy Sports and Outdoors is there to help you have more fun out there.
Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens. It's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Well, let me tell you, the sun is shining here. It's a bye week in Athens. We got the weekend off. I don't care what your schedule and calendar says. Do not drive to Lexington this weekend expecting to see the Dogs and the Wildcats. That will be next weekend up in Lexington. We've had to shift things around because of COVID tests somewhere in the league, primarily in Florida. And so, we got the week off, hey, and let's enjoy it. But we're coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios right here in the heartbeat of the Dog Nation and, of course, presented by Wellstar Health System, Georgia Pack and Load, and attorney Ken Nugent. We got a lot to cover today. We got three great guests with us. We're going to start with our very own Buck Ballew. He quarterbacked the University of Georgia football team to the national championship in 1980. He is now co-host of Buck and Hutt, 1-3 here on 680 The Fan, but has a great podcast out. And Buck, I understand yesterday the episode that dropped, UGA 40 celebrating the 40th anniversary of that national title back in 1980, about that Georgia Tech game, and I'm sure you got a lot of fond memories of that.
Well, yeah, and we also taking a look at the Auburn game too. So that trip over to Jordan-Hare coming off that run Lindsey run play was obviously huge. And you know, that time of the season, you're sort of mentally banged up, physically banged up a little bit. Auburn had taken us down in 78 and 79 and really ruined our SEC title hope chances. So we weren't about to let that happen again. I remember the week of practice coming off the run Lindsey run play, the campus was on fire. And we were just so focused on taking care of Auburn. And then that led us right into the Tech game where Herschel put on that great show that we all remember that day. So, yeah, these are two big rivalry games that we're detailing on this UGA 40 hashtag champions podcast we've had so much fun doing here.
Buck, the reliving a lot of those memories, I'm sure it brought back, a lot of things to you because, you know, you're in your own mind, you lived it, but you forget things. But then you get reminded by some of your teammates that you talked to during the putting this together. So I'm curious, were there any things that that were brought up to you that you went, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten all about that?
Well, look, I love all those guys, and I will always, you know, have this great respect for the other guys on the team. And so it's been a lot of fun. We had 12 to 15 Zoom interviews we did during the shutdown. And, you know, it was also great having some of the opponents on, too. Just some great guys that I've had a chance to compete against and get to know through the years. Wayne Peace, the quarterback at Florida. There was a freshman in 1980, and, you know, really think a lot of him. And, you know, John Forcade, we knew each other before we went to college on the recruiting trail, so to speak, and he was the Ole Miss quarterback, so had a lot of fun having him on and talking about it, too, just to get the opposite viewpoint.
Yeah, I'm sure that, to hear that what was going on in the minds of your opponents during that run, that's terrific. And we want to remind everybody, thepodcastpark.com, UGA 40, and or wherever they get their podcasts, they can certainly get it. And I know it's been a lot of fun for you. Buck, let's talk about this Georgia football team. And you know that quarterback room and that quarterback situation better than anybody. And I've got to ask you about the situation that the Dogs find themselves in with so many people questioning the current quarterback situation, coming off of, you know, as fans will do, coming off of a loss at Alabama.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm getting hit up everywhere I go, Chuck. These people wanting to know what's going on. And, you know, it's disappointing, obviously. Look, to beat Alabama under Nick Saban these days, you've got to have your act totally together. You're going to knock him off. I mean, only Clemson's doing it, right, with Dabo Sweeney, who's got it going. He's got it going on up at Clemson. So, you know, there's some areas we just, quite simply, we've got to get better at. And I think receiver is one of them. It was a problem spot a year ago, and now it sort of reared its ugly head again here today. All this talk about the new offense and spreading the field and getting the ball to playmakers. And, you know, now look at Alabama's wide receiver core. I mean, it is just fabulous. So, you know, quarterback play needs to be better. You know, really appreciate and like what Stetson Bennett's been able to do. And I just love the young man and his storyline, the adversity, you know, being told he's not good enough all along. That, you know, we like you, Stetson, but we like this other quarterback. We're going to offer him the scholarship.
Yeah.
You know, the adversity that he's faced, he's kept belief in himself, and he's turned out to be a way better athlete than I thought he was just watching him play. But we've got to get better at the quarterback spot, too. I mean, look at Alabama. You got Mac Jones. He's playing at a higher level right now than Joe Burrow was last season, which is hard to believe. So, you know, we just need to tighten up some of these areas, make some changes, perhaps. The coaching staff, I'm sure, with this week off, making some good, hard decisions because, look, I've got a message of hope here. Hope that later in the season, if we can earn our way back to the SEC title game and get another shot at Alabama, if we can get these areas cleaned up, got a chance to end it on a winning note for a change.
Well, that'd be terrific. And, you know, I always think, you know, anytime we start to talk about that quarterback position in midseason, I always think about that old adage, most popular guy on any team is the backup quarterback. You know, everybody thinks he can be better. When, in fact, you know, like I said, this young man, Stetson's done a great job for Georgia. And, look, he had some struggles last week, but we struggled in a lot of areas. And like you say, I think the coaching staff, given this extra week, they'll get things straightened out. But, Buck, listen, congratulations on the success of the podcast. Continue the great work, my friend, and we'll catch up to you at 1-3 today right here on 680 The Fan with Hudson Mason.
Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate it.
All right. Buck Blue here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk recruiting with the very best in the business, Rusty Manziel. He is next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan, now on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach Dooley. Let's get right to it with our good friend Rusty Manziel of Dogs 24/7. Rusty, I hadn't had a chance to chat with you in a while, my friend, but first off, congratulations on, I know how closely you follow all those high school athletes, and Georgia got through that high school season, or seems to be getting through it with, you know, pretty good success. I mean, so far, so good.
Man, you got to tip your cap to Dr. Robin Hines and his staff at Georgia High School Association because, you know, they were kind of the forefront. Everybody in the South kept looking at the state of Georgia and Alabama as well. But when they did, you know, there was some hesitation from different places. But I'll tell you, there's been some hiccups, and there's been some things where some games have been put off and a few places have been hit harder than others. But for the whole purpose of everything, man, it has been unbelievable, really, really what we needed. And, you know, just really for these young men and these cheerleaders and these bands and these coaches and families, to borrow no term, it was exactly what the doctor ordered.
And Rusty, exactly something you told us would happen has happened. We have seen athletes at other schools in other states transfer into Georgia
for
that opportunity to play because their schools were not.
Yep. Yeah, you got a quarterback at Carrollton. He is from New York. You know, I went down and saw him play a couple weeks ago against Rome. You know, he's settling in. You know, probably as the biggest headliner was Jake Garcia, the USC quarterback commit. You know, tried to go to Valdosta for whatever reason, didn't work. Now it seems he's at Grayson. And, you know, there's a lot of different stories and a lot of different opinions on things. But at the end of the day, you know, if you were able to do it, it seems like that most of the kids that came from different places are eligible and enjoying a senior season in high school football.
Well, it's good to see the kids playing, and sure. We just want everybody to stay safe. And, and so far, it certainly seems that the proper precautions are being taken, and that is great news. Let's talk recruiting. Nobody knows it better than you do, and I know the Dogs just picked up a big offensive tackle commit. How big a deal is that for the Dogs, and what are you looking for on their board to fall? What domino will fall next?
Well, they'll find out tonight at 8 p.m. Kamari Lassiter, a defensive back out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, originally from Savannah, Georgia, young man that moved to Tuscaloosa with his family about 3 years ago and, you know, right in the heart of Alabama, actually. But it's really down to Georgia, Auburn, and Clemson on him. He's a six-foot DB. You know, everybody looks for those DBs with length now, and a very high academic young man. I had a chance to talk with him a couple times in the interview, very impressive, but he makes his decision tonight, so Georgia very well could pick one up tonight, could lose one, but DB is going to be a position of need. But you go back to Amarius Mims last week, Chuck, I cannot state enough. I mean, there's only so many of those per class. There's probably two or three of those per class nationwide. And, you know, Georgia had one in their state, Blakely County High School. You just can't lose those type. And he is a 6 foot seven and a half young man. If I walked him in right now and you didn't know and you had to guess, you'd probably say he weighs 275, 280. He's about 320 and athletic basketball kid. It's just hard to find those. And he's about as good as I've covered athletically. You know, I did cover Andrew Thomas in high school, who wound up being a tremendous player, top five pick. Not saying this kid's going to do that, but coming out of high school, he's more athletic than Andrew was going into Georgia.
Well, that's high praise coming from you. That is definitely high praise. We're glad that he's committed to the Dogs. That's good news. You mentioned a position of need for Georgia at that DB. We are expecting some attrition there. It looks like there are a number of those defensive backs for the Dogs that might be playing on Sunday next year.
Sure. Yeah, you think about this now. I mean, Georgia, there's so much left in this season. But if you want to look down the line, you want to look at opening up with Clemson next year. And I certainly don't anticipate Trevor Lawrence being there. But I'm just saying they've got another five-star quarterback waiting to jump in. So you're going to open the season with Clemson, and very well probably will not have Eric Stokes. Tyson, you probably will not have. My opinion, D.J. Daniels could come out because he's got a high NFL grade. So you could lose your top three corners. Then you're going to lose Richard LeCount. So you're probably replacing three or four starters in the defensive backfield that haven't played a bunch. So you look at Tyson Campbell and all those guys. I mean, it's something that I know that staff at Georgia knows the importance. They have got to get this class. And by the way, you brought in a five-star last year in Keaton Ringo, who's going to be a really, really good football player, but he's missing the entire season because he had shoulder surgery. So, you know, there's a lot of things to look down the line, and this defensive back class in 2021, Georgia has got to hit on.
Well, and we know how much Kirby stresses that, too.
Sure.
That's a real important position. Not that all aren't, but he pays extra. You know, he played that position, and
now
he pays extra close attention to it. There's no doubt about it. Listen, I got a couple of minutes left with you. You posted video on Twitter of a young man that you said was sent to you. I think he's said class of 2023?
He's class of 2023.
Kid was huge.
Yeah, I think he's 6'6", 292, I think, out of Northeast Macon. You know, it's just, Chuck, it's every day. I mean, every day somebody sends me something, I'm like, I just shake my head now. You know, look, I'm getting stats from freshman quarterbacks that are playing, Rome starting a freshman quarterback now. Hillgrove, 7A, they got a freshman quarterback just doing really, really good. A young man named Chase McGravy. It's just incredible the state and football is going on. I had a long conversation with John Reed, longtime head coach at Rome High School. He won state championships in Tennessee, state championships here. We were just talking about this, and he goes, Rusty, this is the best high school football. He goes, I saw a middle school game this weekend that I was blown away at how good those kids are already. And, yeah. You know, that speaks volumes. But I'll tell you this one thing real quick on the state of Georgia. They take care of their coaches. They pay their coaches. They pay their coordinators. Every time a job comes open in the state of Georgia, I get numerous texts from people all over the country trying to find out who you call to apply for those jobs. I mean, yeah. it's very tough work here.
And Rusty, that is the thing. Not only are the kids getting bigger because of nutrition and training methods and so forth and so on, bigger and stronger, but the coaching is so outstanding now.
Yes. They're ready to play. And that, I had a college coach tell me that probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. Don't remember the exact time frame. He told me, and I'll never forget, he said, listen, the kids from the state of Georgia, for the most part, they're ready to play when they get in college. And that goes attributed right back to the high school football coaches here.
Well, Rusty, listen, it's always great to talk to you. Really enjoy having you on the show, and thanks so much for your time this morning. Rusty Manziel of Dogs 24/7, and we'll catch up with you real soon again, Rusty, I promise.
Thanks, Chuck. Stay safe. See you soon, buddy.
Okay, pal. Rusty Manziel with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to check in with Connor O'Gara. He's the senior national columnist for Saturdays Down South. We're going to get an overall perspective of just how college football is going this season. That's next on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Hey, everybody. Buck Blue here. And as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, this is going to seem a little unusual because we are about the midway point of the SEC schedule, yet we have some major schools that are going to just start playing football for the first time this coming weekend. And let's talk to our good friend Connor O'Gara. He's the senior national columnist for Saturdays Down South. And Connor, that is kind of strange. We haven't seen that before, but that's where we are in this most unusual of years, 2020. But the Big Ten is going to crank it up this weekend.
Welcome to 2020. Embrace the weird. You know, we've got an entire conference that's just kind of going to hit the ground running, and hopefully for its sake, it doesn't have any sort of cancellations, postponements, or anything like that. But it's going to be weird. It's going to be really weird to dissect when we are talking about, you know, Ohio State compared to the other playoff contenders and all these other playoff contenders. Even Alabama's already played two teams that are currently in the top 10. So yeah, it's going to be just strange to dissect. It seems like one of those years in which we should kind of not overanalyze anything until we get to December, when these teams have played a more similar amount of games. But yeah, I'm having a tough time trying to figure out what exactly this is all going to look like in a couple of weeks.
Connor, I asked our producer, the road dog, Adam Gillespie, I asked him a short while ago, I said, as we sit here this morning, if I were to ask you, is the college football season, given what we've had to face, is this, would you look at this and say it's a success, or how would you rank it?
You know, I think it has to still be considered a success, but I understand the opposite side of the argument, right? I mean, we're talking about over 30 games that have been postponed or canceled. That's not ideal. That's definitely not. And it's been such a fluid season. We've already seen in the SEC the schedule shuffling that comes about. And that's with a league that already had kind of the built-in bye week or makeup week, if you want to call it that, for December 12th. But, you know, I'm more of the mindset that I'm just glad that they're playing football. We were talking in July about whether or not they were going to be able to have any season. And even in a weekend like this, where we only have four SEC games, partially because of bye weeks, partially because of postponement, you know, shuffling of the schedule, I'm just glad that we are still able to have college football. And by that measure, I think it's a success. I think they've done some good things to be able to kind of account for this. And in a situation where you don't have a bubble, you absolutely need to be able to account for it. And it's going to continue to be an issue moving forward. I think now we're a little bit more numb to it, to these postponements and cancellations, but it's still such a fluid year, and I don't think anything is necessarily set in stone. It's going to be interesting to see the way that things could play out if we get, you know, the playoff situation where we've got teams in the same conference who haven't played the same number of games. I mean, I think that's a very realistic scenario that we're going to have to dissect and figure out. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say that it's been a success from that standpoint, and just having any sort of college football is a win in my book.
Well, you know, certainly it has helped these athletics departments and student athletes going forward because of the financial ramification of not playing at all. And, you know, obviously having the game played does mean revenue and does help to some degree, you know, as we move down the road into 2021. But let me ask you, Connor, too, from the standpoint that, you know, we are hearing of positive COVID tests in various places around the country on teams. And to my knowledge, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I have not heard of any hospitalizations.
Correct. And we've heard, though, of players who have been dealing with, potential myocarditis issues. I know we saw the defensive lineman at Clemson, Xavier Thomas, who's been dealing with that, and he wasn't in any sort of condition to play. That decision was made before the start of the year. I know we've seen the quarterback at Georgia State, I want to say, who was dealing with myocarditis-related issues. And, you know, the good thing is that they're aware of this. And, you know, training staffs are fully aware of what is going on right now with that and the need to want to continue to test and monitor those potential issues because they know what's on the line. I mean, this is all about liability. Let's be honest. They want to protect the student athlete. They want to make sure that they're not putting them in compromising positions, but they know at the end of the day, this comes down to, hey, we cannot have somebody seriously get impacted by this because we wanted to have a college football season. So, you know, that's why the Big Ten has put in such stringent protocols to have a 21-day quarantine for a positive test so that they can track things like this. So, I mean, I'd like to think that the policies in place are going to protect these student athletes moving forward. But yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to continue to be monitored, and who knows if that conversation is going to change in the next month or two.
That's right. It's a day-to-day thing. It's one step at a time. And that's seems like the way we've been going at it since back, at the early part of March. Talking with Connor O'Gara, the senior national columnist for Saturdays Down South. And Connor, let's turn our attention to football since it is being played. One of the things that seems to be garnering a lot of attention nationally is, has the SEC become an all-offensive conference?
You know, week three, and I say week three, like week three of the SEC season, it certainly felt like it. And I think it's a combination of a few things, right? You know, I don't think it's just as simple as defenses are all of a sudden really bad. Kids don't know how to tackle anymore. There's something to be said for that in this era of 7-on-7 football that we've seen not just in the SEC but across college football. But I think the overlooked element in all of this is that the SEC this offseason added four new offensive minds, albeit in very different ways. You know, Eli Drinkwitz comes in, and all of a sudden you see against LSU, oh, wow, when he gets his quarterbacks, this offense is capable of doing some good things. He schemed open some receivers that just had wide open lanes to run in. So, I mean, we've seen that. We've seen, obviously, Mike Leach had his big debut, and since the conference looks like it's figured him out, Lane Kiffin doing some things offensively in those first 3 weeks that really, really made us think, hey, this guy is still one of the best offensive minds in the sport. And then Sam Pittman, by the way, who, you know, I think offensively they haven't necessarily been a juggernaut, but they've still been so much better in the trenches than what we were expecting. So I think that has a lot to do with it, this influx of offensive minds in the sport. That's now prioritized in just a different way. And offenses are just built different. You know, it's up-tempo, it's spread, it's shotgun, you're going to throw. It's just different than what we were looking at the start of the 2010s. So I think it's we're all just kind of seeing this come to a head, and the fact that you have teams like Florida who are like, yeah, Dan Mullen comes out and says after the opener, we've tackled, what, like two or three times since the Orange Bowl after this offseason. So I think it's a combination of a variety of things. The defense always ends up figuring things out, but as of right now, yeah, the offense definitely has the upper hand in this conference.
Well, Connor, listen, great. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned Sam Pittman in Arkansas, because, you know, as we move down this SEC road, looking back, it now appears that win that Georgia had up in Fayetteville looking bigger and better all the time.
Seriously, I mean, that's a group that has shown up ready to go every single week. And, you know, they chased DeJuan Mathis out of that game. But you're looking back at that like, wait a minute, Arkansas's defensive game plans have been really, really good. And it actually kind of makes you think, well, maybe DeJuan Mathis shouldn't have been criticized as much for struggling against Arkansas when Arkansas's defense has been great. So yeah, it kind of makes me rethink what maybe we should expect of him. Obviously, he looked a bit lost in that first half before Stetson Bennett came in. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great point. The Arkansas defense with Sam Pittman and Barry Odom, those guys have just been playing on a different kind of level. They look so prepared. They look one step ahead of every offense that they face. And they should be 3-1 right now. I mean, that is the real conversation that we're having. And when they play after this bye week against Texas A&M, I mean, it looks like it's going to be to determine who's being considered the second-best team in the SEC West. That's where
amazing.
We're at right now with Arkansas. Like, go figure. That just continues to blow me away.
Connor O'Gara, senior national columnist for Saturdays Down South, thank you so much. Our thanks also, of course, to Rusty Mansell and our very own Buck Ballew for being with us here today on the Bulldog Roundtable. Stay tuned next for Home Team in Hamilton. They're here on 680 The Fan, and let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
Everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.